At British government helped with funds for old organization or Poles founded them by themselves? Like church?
It all came from Poles. I remember asking my mother and she said, no, we never asked for anything. We were just grateful that they allowed us to stay, which is important to say, even though they felt quite betrayed that Poland had been given away to the Soviet Union and that they wouldn't recognize the things that the Soviets had done to Poles. But on the other side, you know, my mom said they were always grateful that they were allowed to stay and that they were kind of given a home. They weren't kind of kicked out because they could have been kicked out of England. That would have been even worse. And, you know, obviously you had, and they helped them to relocate to New Zealand, to America, to Canada, this sort of thing. So the British helped from that point of view, definitely. But as far as funds are concerned for Polish schools or the church or anything community-based, no. My mum said we never asked for anything. And it was all just through their own sort of means. To the point that I remember my dad even, where they set up a, especially in Broccoli Lewisham, they set up a kind of, not a bank, but I suppose you could call it a community bank where everybody would pay in, people who could pay in would pay in. That was loaned out to other Poles and that was sort of paid back at a kind of lower interest rate. So they even kind of set up their own financial system, really. So they were completely self-sufficient. And no, I think maybe pride, or maybe they just didn't even think about it. They kind of thought, well, why should they help us, or why would they help us? So we've got to do it ourselves, which I think is a Polish trait anyway, because I think the Poles all around the world, Poles now, wherever they go, they just sort of get on with it and they do it themselves. I don't think they go for handouts first. I think they try and do it themselves, and that's a good thing, I think. Rather than so they, at one point my mom was saying there were so many Polish children in English schools, they could have easily said, I think there should be Polish language in English schools. but again, she didn't even think about that. That's why they set up Polish schools, because they said, well, if we want our children to be culturally aware, we're going to do it ourselves. We can't expect the English to do it for us. You know, we need to do it ourselves. So, and the Polish schools were, as I say, they rented English schools, so they paid for the space, and it was all, Polish teachers. So, and in most cases, these people weren't teachers. So it was just ordinary people who just fancied helping out and sort of became language teachers or history teachers or whatever, because they were interested. There were obviously professional teachers as well, but that I think they were in the minority, and so everything was organized by themselves. It literally was, if we're going to do this, we need to do this ourselves.
So as I understand, every person was somehow involved, even kids, in with make Polish community bigger, better.
Yeah, but as I said, I don't think at that point, my parents' generation, it was very, I think there was a definite goal to kind of keep the Polish community going, but also just for themselves, because remember, my mum was only in her teens when she came to England. So she was born in 29. So after the war, 46, 47, I mean, they're 18, 19. So they're also young people, so they want to go out, they want to meet people, they want to get married, all that, go to parties. So they had that social life as well, so they wanted that, and obviously that's all their friends were Polish, so they would all sort of meet up together. So it's not just, don't get me wrong, that it was just all political and it was all about Polish patriotism. In the end, it was just to have a life as well, and to create a life, because they were all young people, not just the older colonels and majors that had fought in the war.
Yeah, that's what I actually wanted to ask. How was the private life, the parties? Was Saturdays, Sundays, you know, how was it look like? Like, I don't know, big Polish parties, something like that? Or...
Yeah, for my parents, it was always zabawy, so it was always parties. So I think the photographs and the paperwork I gave you of Gmina London Południe, you know, they organized their own zabawy, their own parties, obviously all dressed up in evening dress, and that would become a big deal. And that was a regular kind of occurrence. That was the one of the reasons, you know, Gmina existed, to bring them all together and to organize events for themselves. So they would absolutely always be going out, always going to organizing parties. And as Mama used to say, you know, a lot of people met at home. They would possibly go out and then come back and all go home at 5-6 o'clock in the morning, you know. So there were a lot of parties at home as well. So yeah, it was a very kind of lively social life. I definitely remember that as a child of, you know, my parents constantly going out, dressing up and going out. So my mom in sort of long dresses and my dad in his dinner jacket and so on. I absolutely remember that a lot. And that was constant. Yeah.
Did your generation cultivate that tradition of zabawa, etc.?
No, we started going out to clubs. because again, you know, you don't want to do what your parents do. So I'd remember this. But again, then, as I say, as you get past your own kind of formative years, you then go back to zabawy. So we definitely had, because we had zabawy, you know, after, you know, Obozowe Tango, which was sort of scouting zabawy and our own ones, and then obviously weddings. So it was a combination of the two, really. But there was, I always remember, especially from a Polish point of view, a lot of kind of social, a lot of dancing, a lot of singing, a lot of food and drink. You know, that is a constant, you know, throughout my life, really, and continues to be. But definitely in those times, around the sort of 60s, 70s, 80s, there's a lot of kind of going out, weddings, parties, zabawy, yeah, lots of that, which is great. Which is great. So it was a fun time, definitely.
Do you remember maybe any names of the places where you meet for? Where did you meet? Like, it was just clubs or your parents? Where did they meet with friends? Maybe there was.
I mean, my parents would hire places. I think the first Gmina Zabawa was just in the John Lewis store in Sloane Square, I think Peter Jones, they just hired the hall there, and they had their first ever zabawa there, kind of in the, I think in the 50s or whenever that was. And then to the point they were hiring out, so the Cafe Royale in Leicester Square, you know, the Dorchester Hotel. So they were, you know, they were going to nice places, definitely. Then once POSC was built, you then had a lot of zabawy at POSC, and New Year's became was always at POSC, and because I think POSC has three sort of different salen, and all they were all going, so it was a big deal. New Year's was a big deal at POSC, and my parents used to always go there, so POSC became a cultural hub as well, which and POSC was built in the 70s again, purely by, you know, the investment came from the Polish community. I don't think there were any kind of state funds or British funds that went into that. Then that was all built, bought, and designed and organized by the Polish community.
And I think POSC was really big part of Polish community when it was built. Because
it, you know, they wanted a hub. They wanted a kind of Polish, not just for London, but for the whole country. They wanted a center of where all the organizations would have offices, a kind of a one-stop shop for the Polish community, really. Mm-hmm. And because there's a theater there, you know, there's a restaurant, so it was just a center, a symbol of the Polish community in the UK.
Okay. One second. Yeah, I think I've got last question. What you can say to your, what advice you can tell to your youngest self? Like, you know, you can talk to Piotr, who's in his teens. He maybe don't understand, he doesn't understand maybe completely. What about Poland? What about, he's maybe confused. What advice you can give him?
Just to appreciate it more, appreciate what you're living through, and listen to what's around you, see what's around you, and just to appreciate. I think just appreciate what you have and what you had. I think that's the main thing, because as you're living it, as I say, you have no real idea of what it is, what the significance of it is. It's just something that everybody's doing, all my friends were doing, and you didn't realize the significance of it. So I think it's a case of, yeah, appreciate it and enjoy it.
Okay. Thank you, Piotr. It was nice to having you. Thank you for sharing your stories with us. Do you maybe have something else to add in the end?
No, I think the main thing is that once you start talking about it, once you start articulating the history, you realize how important it is. You also realize how much there is to say. Even just talking to you, we've touched on so many different subjects. But as you can see, there's each one of those could be an interview in itself. You know, there's so much going on from a social point of view, from a sort of economic point of view, from a political point of view, from a historical point of view. There's so much. It's so rich. That history, that generation is so unique. And the experiences are so rich, and it will never kind of be repeated, because it was a very unique moment in time. And I see that so very clearly now when I look back at it, not just my own experience, but my parents' experience and my parents' generation's experience from that time when the Soviet Union invaded Poland and they were deported, to where they are now. I mean, just, and I always remember this, that I'll never really understand or feel what my parents must feel or must have felt to be taken from their home at such a young age with their parents, you know, bombs dropping left, right and center, you know, being deported into the middle of nowhere, then coming out of there as refugees, you know, starving, with malaria, all these sort of diseases and so on that they went through, then to come to England, not be allowed to go home, to have to create a new life in a new country where they don't know the language, you know, that they're then told not to talk about their experience. They then get married, raise their children, lobby for this country that at the moment doesn't exist, you know, in a political manner, to then see that country finally sort of return, but that country's no longer the country that they left. I mean, it just goes on and on. It's a hugely important experience that I'm really glad that you're doing this.
Thank you, Piotr, so much. It was really touching, and it's really valuable lesson for all of us.
Thanks.
We really happy that we can have you, and you You did something amazing sharing the stories with us. Frankie, from the bottom of our hearts.